This is your tech news briefing for Monday, January 27th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. How do you solve a problem like corruption? For a long time, the answer has been sending lawyers around the world to interview employees and collect survey data. But that process is prone to human error. So one company is trying a new approach, machine learning. But it's not the kind of company you'd think. Reporter Dylan Tokar will join us to tell us all about it. But first, let's check some headlines. We've talked recently about how the Commerce Department was pushing for stricter regulations that would make it harder for U.S. companies to sell to the Chinese tech giant Huawei. But those efforts are now running into a formidable opponent very close to home, the Pentagon. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper says it's all about balance. Huawei is a big customer for U.S. high-tech firms, but they also supply the Pentagon and the rest of the government with the best technology. Pentagon is concerned that if companies lose a key source of revenue from Huawei, the financial impact could put them at risk of losing their technological edge because they'd lack the money to invest in research and development. The investment firm Tiger Global Management has raised $3.75 billion in a private equity fund to buy stakes in privately held technology companies. Tiger says it could have raised even more. The fund was oversubscribed with more than $4 billion in demand. Tiger Global's portfolio currently includes the e-commerce giant JD.com and a Chinese online services platform, as well as more controversial investments like Juul Labs and Uber. But enthusiasm for the new fund is a sign that investors are still interested in private tech startups, despite growing concerns about inflated valuations. And a year ago, Apple looked to be headed for a slump. Instead, investors got one of the biggest one-year stock rallies of all time. The tech giant has added more than $725 billion to its value this year. That's more than the total value of Facebook. There's been a downturn in iPhone sales, but that's been offset by a rising demand for Apple's newer offerings. We're talking about smartwatches, AirPods, a music streaming subscription, and mobile payments. The change is indicative of Apple's transition from a hardware-first business to one that's more focused on services and accessories. While investors are divided on whether the rally will last, it's looking pretty good for now. Apple stock closed at $318.73 on Friday, and the company now has a market value of $1.39 trillion. For most international companies, preventing bribery and corruption is a human process. One that involves sending lawyers around the world, interviewing uncooperative or uninformed employees, and collecting survey data. In other words, it's prone to issues like bias and human error. One company is turning to data to root out corruption. But it's not a tech company. It's a beer company. You probably are familiar with it. Anheuser-Busch. Here to explain more is our reporter Dylan Tokar. Dylan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. So Anheuser-Busch is kind of known as AB InBev. What exactly is AB InBev doing to root out corruption in their company?
Right. So for a lot of companies, they have compliance programs that basically lay out rules for how to prevent legal infractions from happening. And they train their employees on how to follow those rules. And there's processes for complying with laws in the different countries in which they operate. AB InBev is doing something a bit novel. They've created a data analytics platform that allows them to sort of proactively monitor these legal risks and address them before they happen. The platform looks at financial transactions, and it looks at the different third-party vendors that the company works with, which are, you know, the primary source of corruption risk for the company. It looks at these things on an ongoing basis. And for AB InBev, they operate on sort of a payment schedule where they don't pay out their vendors right away. They do it typically, my understanding is over a 120-day time frame. So if they see a transaction that could be a potential bribe, they have the ability with this tech platform to basically go in and potentially prevent it before it happens.
So this wasn't a company that was actually trying to be proactive before. How did this transition happen?
Right. So AB InBev started building this platform when they bought SAB Miller. That made AB InBev the world's largest beer company. And the task of sort of acquiring and integrating the business, I think on all levels, was a pretty challenging one, but it was also a challenge for AB InBev's compliance department. Typically, the process with an acquisition like that is you sort of audit the compliance functions in the operations that you are acquiring. You kind of look for weak spots. You look at their processes, the different rules they have in place, and you talk to people. You identify where corruption can happen in the business, and then you sort of rewrite new policies. AB InBev and the compliance officer that was sort of leading this integration wanted to try to do something different. He made the decision to sort of bring in all the data from across AB InBev and across the new SAB Miller operations and sort of do so on an ongoing basis where they could continue to use that data going forward and sort of continue proactively monitoring their legal risks.
How does this actually work in terms of machine learning, and how is that different from a filter you might put in place just to catch kind of abnormal expenditures?
Right, that's a good question. A lot of companies do some sort of data collection and analytics around data when it comes to sort of assessing the legal risks that are part of the business they do in foreign jurisdictions, especially when it comes to bribery and corruption. AB InBev has definitely tried to make it as sophisticated as they can. I mean, when they initially started this process, they had human-created models that basically said, you know, here are a couple different metrics for what might make a vendor risky. You know, and in particular with vendors, it's if they have ties to the government, because then if you're paying them, it could be potentially seen as a bribe. Where they've layered on machine learning is that, you know, as these models have become increasingly sophisticated, you might have gone from 5 different metrics that would make a transaction risky to maybe 40. The machine learning component is that a compliance officer will look at a transaction that the platform has deemed as risky and check to see if it's actually a problem, if it's something that needs to be investigated. That's feedback that then goes back into the machine. So if they see that this is in fact not a problem, if it's a perfectly legitimate payment, then the machine can learn from that. And basically what it's doing is, you know, at least the way I understand it, is it's adjusting those 40 metrics we're talking about. And then as it learns that certain patterns that it before deemed was risky aren't, it learns from that and it gets better. It gets more accurate. So initially, you know, when they first built the program, I think, you know, this was in the single digits for how accurate it was. Matt Galvin, the compliance officer who kind of spearheaded this project, says now, depending on the jurisdiction, that test is now more like 40 or 60% accurate.
So you mentioned that the program is called Brew Right, which is a very nice name for a beer company to name its compliance software. And Galvin has really been pushing to make this more open for other companies as well, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. I mean, he's, you know, it's interesting. A lot of businesses don't want to share proprietary things that they're doing. But in the compliance world, I think it's a little bit more open. Companies want to collaborate. You know, if one has discovered that there's a particular legal risk and looks like something or even a particular individual, they want to spread that information to help other companies, you know, not potentially violate the law. Matt Galvin has been out there talking to journalists, giving speeches at conferences. And he even does demos for, you know, other compliance officials and really, you know, people who are interested in how the program works, where he brings them into AB InBev and shows them how Brew Right works.
How could tools like this kind of trickle down or have a ripple effect in the way that compliance and anti-corruption laws are created? Is there any way that this is going to change the way the DOJ enforces these laws?
That's an interesting question. The way compliance has kind of historically worked in my sense is it's been driven by what regulators and law enforcement agencies like the Department of Justice do. So the fact that AB InBev is even concerned about bribery and corruption is largely due to the fact that for the last 2 decades or so, the Department of Justice has been really aggressively enforcing a law called the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. The Department of Justice doesn't want to be overly prescriptive with how companies comply with this law because they don't want to be in the business of telling companies how to operate their business. But as compliance has gotten more sophisticated, that has changed the expectations at the Department of Justice and with prosecutors. So when they have, for instance, if they have AB InBev come in and give a presentation about this very innovative thing they're doing to stop bribery and corruption, and they have another company that comes in front of them for whatever reason, maybe it's under investigation and within the context of investigation, it's quite normal for lawyers to come in and talk about the good things the company is trying to do to fix this and what they had in place at the time of the legal infraction to prevent it from happening, essentially to sort of try to get more lenient treatment. If they've seen what AB InBev is doing, then they're going to start asking other companies why they aren't doing the same thing.
Dylan Tokar, thank you so much for that insight, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was your tech news briefing. Before we go, if you like tech news, be sure to rate and review us in your app store. It really helps us out. And with that, I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal in New York. Thanks for listening.